We ready to start?
The question is, are you ready to start?
I'm ready.
Jesus.
I've never been ready. More ready.
Yeah. No, we don't have notes or anything.
I nope, we're going.
This is fucked up.
No, right. I was clapped.
God damn it.
No.
Why do we fail? Like, God.
No. It's good.
It's what we right. normally do, but taken to the
yeah, Pax, we should not make that same mistake. Are you actually okay?
Video games. It's August 26, 2009, and it's the Blizz.
And this is Idle Thumbs 40. And I'm Chris Remo.
I'm Nick Brecken.
And I'm Jake Rodkin.
Man, every week you cut into my thing a little
early.
I'm
just crowd your space.
Yeah, it's fine.
Crowd your time.
So what's up?
Nick and I went to BlizzCon.
Oh, the Blizz.
We conned the Blizz.
Yeah.
And now we're casting a pod.
Yep. About Blizz.
About Blizz.
It's all about Blizz.
Is it? Yeah. Nobody beats the Blizz?
Nope.
We played some video games. There's a lot of stuff at BlizzCon this year.
Yeah.
They have three upcoming things, and they had news about stuff like Battle.net.
Right.
And
the news part is new. I mean,
the news part
well,
is
well, last year,
new news
I mean,
is
they
new.
Had three games as well, but
oh, yeah,
Battle.net
the
Battle.net
same
was the
games,
big,
basically.
Right, yeah, exactly.
Right.
Battle.net was definitely new, though.
Were they showing Lich King last year? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's they might have some of these same games again next year.
Yes, I'm they will. Thinking, yeah. They will definitely.
At least Diablo 3 will. Yeah.
Well, Cataclysm will still be there as well.
Oh, you don't think they're releasing that next year?
Well, I'm sure they are, but I would bet that BlizzCon will predate it.
Oh, I see. Yeah you're probably right.
They did Lich King 2 years in a row. But.
Right. yeah, but it was cool. You played World of Warcraft and the other two. I only played the other two.
Right.
Anything you want to say about World of Warcraft since I
about
can't
a Cataclysm?
Talk about that and you can?
I can't really speak to what they had. I mean, the demo that they had was just the starting areas,
right?
Which was just World of Warcraft. But I don't know. It's kind of an exciting expansion. I mean, we talked about this a little bit on that.
It's a cool concept for sure.
It's a really cool concept.
It actually sounds cool.
And
I mean,
they
I'm
showed
not
off,
play it, but it sounds cool.
Yeah, on the panels they showed off, sort of the scale of what they're going for, and every zone in the original game is getting new stuff. Which is crazy, and they're shifting things around too. They're changing the whole structure of level structure of zones. And
not Syphilis or Silithus. I think that one's not changing.
Really?
Well, I did an interview with the lead world designer on this expansion, and I asked him sort of how they're prioritizing which zones need the most attention in the new expansion and which ones need less. And he was like, well, that one, he basically listed off like 4,000 zone names, which I don't.
Yeah, right.
It was very a confusing interview for me.
Yeah. I had the same experience actually.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
when Ashira goes into Darkshore and then South Shore is
right.
on the left.
Yeah. He mentioned those same ones in mine.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
And
I've played the game a lot, but man, if you're like a year removed from that, it just all sounds
right.
like
it
Chinese.
Sounds like nonsense. Yeah. And they only gave us 15-minute interviews, so I felt it was better to do the smile and nod than
yes.
to try to constantly be like,
right.
could you
so
point that
what,
out on a map of Azeroth?
where does this fit into the larger world of Warcraft?
A lot of people at that show would have just been like,
there were
a lot of fan
sites too, and
a
lot of the press plays this game like crazy, so
right, and a lot of the press that was there, yeah, exactly, was fan sites.
So we were probably in the minority as far as people
right.
who can't understand.
Yeah,
current
well,
World
I mean,
Warcraft
this guy went straight material. Into like, I think assuming I knew everything about
yeah.
World of Warcraft, and
yeah.
I didn't want to spend the time to not. Go with that, but yeah, I mean, I guess that zone. He's
yeah,
like, no one really
like
goes
the
there anyway.
They're
so.
Like, you know how this game, you click on guys and they die, right? Yeah,
yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
I know it's so sad. Like, every time they in the keynote, anytime like Morheim or whoever would
yeah.
say anything about World of Warcraft, anything, it would
it's
say everyone
explosion.
In the crowd,
yeah.
fucking world, it's the world, and anything about StarCraft 2 or Diablo, and like eight
the
dudes are like, yeah, right.
the really polite golf clap,
yeah.
kind of,
it's
yeah,
so
yeah.
sad.
Yep.
Is that why they had to be like, and we'd like to remind you,
yeah,
BattleNet, in fact, has more subscribers right. than World
yeah.
of Warcraft
yeah, yeah, yeah.
by an ever-diminishing 500,000.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That was actually sort of a surprising statistic to me, though.
Yeah.
But I mean, is that active accounts? It can't be.
I asked them. And yeah. They said it is. Yeah.
Yeah. It's active and it's unique. Yeah. So
go StarCraft, apparently.
Yeah, it's yes. basically StarCraft and War 3, actually. I suspect yeah.
oh, that's
Warcraft
true.
3, with especially with Dota, is a huge chunk of that.
Yep.
Maybe even a bigger one overall, I would guess. You know, you can tell sort of when you go, because Nick and I both realized we still had Diablo 2 on our laptops. I haven't
yes.
played that thing. It's just Diablo 2 is one of those games that is ubiquitous for me. It's just kind of any PC device I ever own, Diablo 2 will end up on it at some point.
Oh, man, it was so funny. I was reading this interview that with Gabe Newell, which was, I think it took place like a week before BlizzCon.
Yeah.
And somebody asked him, like, what are you playing lately? And he's like, well, actually, I'm playing Diablo 2 because I'm going to BlizzCon.
Oh, man. Gabe Newell went to BlizzCon?
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
I didn't see him there, obviously, since I didn't know that.
There's like a million people there. But yeah. But yeah. He's like, yeah, I got the 1600 by 1200 resolution mod. I got my barbarian. I'm jumping around. It's awesome.
Sweet.
Actually, you know what's weird about, I don't want to derail too much.
No, go ahead.
But, he actually prefers Super Mario 64 to Galaxies by a lot. And he went off on this whole thing.
That is a weird thing to bring up.
Yeah, yeah, it's really weird. I just thought it was kind of interesting.
I think a lot of people do.
Yeah, I suppose.
I mean, I don't
think
that's uncommon at all.
Yeah. It's just... Yeah.
I mean, I don't.
Yeah, I would say Gabe Newell is wrong, but he's welcome to think that, as are everyone else. Those are idiots.
Yeah.
But yeah, so Nick and I, we both had this game, so we're like, we should just start new characters. And so we did, and we went online, and just on one server at like 1 a.m., there were 40,000 people playing this goddamn game that came out 9 years ago.
Yeah.
And that was not even at a time like, 8 hours ahead of that. No one in Europe would be playing. It's not like you're catching any, time zone thing. It's a bad time for basically everyone. And it was just one server. I mean, it was ridiculous.
Crazy.
Yeah. It's amazing. I mean, you can still buy that game in a store on the shelf.
It still, tops the PC sales charts occasionally.
Yeah.
So did you have anything to say about Cataclysm?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
other than it's a cool concept. And they changed a lot of zones except for that one?
No, not really.
Okay.
Really?
Well, no, from what I played, the Goblin starting zone was kind of bland, but the Worgen starting zone was actually fairly cool. It's like the gothic. I don't know. Any time they actually do something like a dark setting for a zone is just infinitely more interesting to me than almost any
totally
other
agree.
Yeah thing in that game. So
I mean,
this was that, and it was pretty cool.
I generally like how World of Warcraft looks. I mean, I'm not the hugest fan of the game, but I think it looks quite nice. And I do agree with you in that it is such a kind of exaggerated art style, and it is so colorful, and they do use a certain almost like pastel palette.
Yeah.
That when you combine that with a dark area or an area that uses deeper colors, it does look really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas a lot of times in the areas that are just brighter in terms of their color choice, you kind of oversaturate the brightness and the sort of cartoonishness to an extent that just ends up looking slightly bland, I think. Like the human area, for example, is, I think, a prime example of that. But a lot of the dark areas...
The tropical zones.
Right. Which
there seemed to be quite a few of, which I thought was strange. Yeah.
But the darker areas have a really cool offset between those two factors that I think plays off each other really well and looks pretty awesome.
Yeah.
So that's nice.
What's cool about it, I mean, the premise of the expansion is that, basically the whole world is exploded. I mean, some of the zones that were fairly bland to begin with, like the Barrens, now have these, like, huge, like, fucking, scars on the, just everything's exploded and crazy and chaotic. And
how much of that stuff is gonna, I mean, is there gonna be any of that transition happening as events in world?
I'm sure that they always do like an event on the last day before the expansion launches. There's always a crazy like midnight event where stuff happens, but actually what's cool is that a lot of the people who don't even have any expansion, that's going to happen for everybody.
Yeah, I was thinking about that. If you buy that game on a shelf,
just be this.
But like if you buying while like 2 days before Cataclysm.
Oh right, yeah, exactly.
You're gonna have a sad life of downloading
it. Man, I love this Barrens. This is so cool.
Yeah.
you already have to spend like 3 days of your life patching that game the first time you run it by now.
Oh yeah, I see.
And
what you're
then you get to do that all over again.
Right. Yep. Like, oh man, I got this. Whoa.
Yeah.
And then they'll just redo everything in the entire game within 48 hours of you buying it.
Yeah.
It'll be pretty incredible, actually. I want to interview that guy.
Well, I mean, it's like when I went into Tabula Rasa and just went around just being like, hey, guys, just picked up this game. It's going to be exciting. Yeah. I can't wait. It looks, seems really fun.
Yeah.
You know, you do that exact same thing. Just walk around World of Warcraft and be just be an asshole. Just
like,
yeah. Right. I love how bright everything is in this game. I love that. I love that there aren't huge, huge meteors everywhere.
Right.
Or like whatever.
There aren't huge meteors. This ground looks really unscarred. It's awesome.
Yeah.
I sure hope they don't ever scar it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah, so that's World of Warcraft.
I probably won't resubscribe for that purpose.
A lot of people probably are going to.
No, I know. It's a good move. It's a cool move. I mean, I fully approve of it.
It's like WoW 2.
Well, I mean, the best part about it is that...
Sorry.
Wow, you thought that was funny. So,
I thought it was funny that I said that.
Strangest expression on Chris's face.
I thought it was funny that I said that. Like, you looked at me weird and no one knew what I was talking about.
But yeah.
I'm sure someone has made that point non-falsely.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of people actually don't like the idea of this.
I've seen yeah. some
they feel like it's just a lazy move. Like, oh, you didn't want to make any new content.
Yeah, right.
Guess you're just going to, you know, blow up the old stuff. Like, yeah. There's like just like
a button
that they can like deform the land.
Scar.
Right.
This, right.
You know,
no, it's the SimCity. They're just, you know, deforming.
Right.
Yeah, just
or
sort of like
redo all
the like mouse around a few times. And
that's true.
Yeah.
What?
Oh, you know, it's like when you're raising.
Do they have like a Kai's Power Tools plug-in for their world editor
that they can just like warp goo where they sort of move around?
Power goo. That's what I meant. Yeah.
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 Yep. No. Yeah. It's not lazy at all. Anyway.
No. It's pretty impressive. I mean, I think this is much more interesting than just adding on a new zone.
Yeah. It's also
they're also adding on large, new zones. So.
Oh, I know. Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Like no, large, I know. You know.
Large scale.
For the sake of
like narrative progression.
Yeah.
Like why you want to play, like why I always think that an MMO might be cool.
Right. Yeah. And I guess, Nick, you can probably speak to this. I wasn't even aware that they had already sort of large scale instancing kind of thing where you change an area by way of a quest and then it actually stays changed for you. It's like phasing or something.
Yeah, right.
They didn't have that when I played.
Yeah.
The
they implemented that recently.
There's a system now where you can finish a quest and have an effect on the world, and then for your
only you see that basically.
Yeah, right. If you've completed the quest, you
which
see
which is
it
why
that
I
way.
Asked you know whether
which is actually cool
whether people who just buy the vanilla. I mean, because they could technically just do it so that if you buy the game, it
right.
doesn't you know. But
that would be difficult.
That would be pretty difficult though, because almost every zone
it's
would
also
be different.
Just cooler that if like the
I agree.
World. The
yeah,
world
yeah,
of
yeah. No,
Warcraft
it definitely
has changed.
Yeah.
Anyone who shows up now, like, well, you know,
you missed the idyllic days.
But it's
right.
nice because you end up for those
no,
new people.
Nice.
There is
and I like
of,
that
like,
it's,
Warcraft lore that you would have gotten,
but it's real.
But this time,
just
everyone in the game has actually experienced.
There's like an actual physical change as opposed to like, oh, we just made up this huge story and now there's a new character in this zone.
Right.
And you know, I mean,
take our word
like,
for it.
Concept.
This happened.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You can tell because a guy explains it in
right.
eight paragraphs.
And these enemies
when you
now
click
have
on him.
Hats or something. Right. You know, like new costumes. Yeah.
As long as they're top hats.
Where the fuck are them? Were them? Yeah. They?
They're dapper.
Oh, the dapper class?
Yeah.
You should be able to choose the dapper class and all your...
Just the upper class?
Right. You have monocles and...
Yeah.
And right. Yeah. Man, the... I'm starting to get more and more interested in Dragon Age. I mean, I already talked about this, but just as a quick detour, because you mentioned the upper class, apparently... Like, you remember I talked about the dwarf commoner, whenever that was, a couple weeks ago? Apparently, the dwarf nobleman is equally crazy, but in a weird way where, like, everyone is trying to... quietly murder or displace each other, but still act in a really sort of genteel upper crust kind of very gentlemanly way, which is fascinating. That's also a cool thing for a video game to be set in, and it's the total exact opposite of what I played, which is where everyone openly hates you very very obviously. So I'm actually really increasingly curious about this game now. Anyway, it's not by Blizzard, so we shouldn't be talking about it right now, because only Blizzard games are cool.
Yeah.
We played StarCraft 2 and Diablo 3.
Yeah.
Did you win?
We won what was available in Diablo 3 four times.
Yeah.
And Nick won a game against me four times, I think. So the last game
oh, yeah, you did.
I would have given myself a chance.
You had
if it wasn't on a timer.
Right.
Because I had other bases for the first time that you didn't know about. But yes.
It's like a clown fire.
At least three games, Nick demolished me pretty hard.
Were you guys playing?
You know what? I made a discovery.
What did you discover?
Go ahead. You made a discovery.
Well, I remember I was mentioning to you, like,
you
all of a sudden, I can micro in this game. Remember, I was just like, whoa, it's weird how I've developed this skill seemingly out of nowhere. It's because I've been playing Dota a lot.
Really?
Like, a lot. And that has directly led to this. Like,
that's fascinating.
Yeah. It just dawned on me while playing Dota today. Yeah. Well, it's weird. I mean, it's pretty obvious.
StarCraft? Are you playing Dota or are you playing League of Legends?
League of Legends, which is the same thing.
Wow. Yeah. That's a burn on those guys, though. Like, not even promoting their game.
Oh, yeah. Well, I promoted it like a million times in this cast, but yeah. Anyway. Yeah, StarCraft 2 is looking amazing, though.
Yeah, Nick was freaking out about this game. The whole weekend, Nick was just, God, StarCraft 2. Oh, man, StarCraft, this game is fun. This is good. I can't wait to play this game.
It's really weird, though, because I mean, it has existed in two previous, BlizzCons.
Yeah, you've previewed this game five times.
Yeah, I've seen this game develop over the course of, 3 years. And now it's finally, StarCraft 2. It's really good. Man, I mean, they basically changed the whole backside. You know, you hit B and there's, those buildings, and then you hit V and there's, the advanced buildings.
Nick's talking about the difference between the basic and advanced building menus. Yeah. What about them?
In layman's speak, yeah.
Well, I mean, when you press V, you see
B and then there's those
everyone's
buildings.
Playing StarCraft, right? No. Unfortunately not, but the whole upper, the whole second half of a round, second tier of it's like completely changed.
Yeah,
and
it really
even
totally
some basic
different.
Almost every unit has seen some kind of massive change.
Yeah,
and even just the art now, it just looks amazing. And
that
the
was,
music
that was
is,
actually
the music is really good.
The music is really good.
God,
that was,
it's like shockingly.
Me.
It's just shockingly
good.
I love StarCraft.
Nick is just devolving into like an amoeba who just wants to absorb StarCraft too.
Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah. No, that was actually really. They were stressful games for me because I had no clue what I was doing. Like, this was the first time I'd actually played this game multiplayer. I played one single player skirmish game when we were at Blizzard, but this is the first time I played it actually multiplayer. And you're completely right. The entire second tier, the first tier was at least for Protoss is actually largely similar.
They kept it similar. They kept it fairly familiar. Yeah. There are a lot of changes, but they're not as.
But
much.
They're not super fundamental. But the second tier is totally different, and I had no goddamn clue what I was doing.
Yeah.
Oh man. Also, one game I played, the B button on my keyboard was broken.
Right. Yeah.
Which is the shortcut I need more than almost any other.
It's for those buildings.
Yeah, those buildings. Yeah. It didn't want me to get into those buildings. That sucked. Oh, and my one key was also broken, so I couldn't bind a group to one.
That was the one where I think I ended by nuking your base three
times.
Yeah,
Nick nuked my base so many times. I spent the first...
I can't build anything easily.
Well, I totally got that, nuclear launched. Nuclear launched, detected. Nuclear.
It was really hard because we were on a 20-minute time limit, and so my whole construction was just centered around getting as many nukes as possible and then making sure that I got all my ghosts over there in time.
Yeah.
Yeah, but no, they've done a lot of really cool things. I mean, just like a lot of small touches that I really enjoyed. Like when you build three workers, and they're not they just pop out of your base, and you're looking at maybe halfway across the map. It'll pop up like a little icon will pop up in the lower left hand corner, and it'll say just three idle workers. And if you click on it, it takes you right to those guys.
If you click the totally button as well, it'll take you directly to the latest unused one. It's really nice.
Yeah,
and it now shows you on the screen little icons. That are your numbered control groups. So when you set control groups 1, 2, 3, 4, whatever, it shows you on the screen and has a tiny little icon representing what's inside it. It's incredibly useful because you just have to remember all that shit before.
Yeah.
And you can have an infinite number, I think, of guys in a group or, effectively infinite number of guys in a group. I never ran into a limit. Whereas before it was only 12, I think.
Right.
So it's interesting in that it looks and feels so much like StarCraft, but it's also it's been refined in so many ways that just reveal themselves the more you play it. I mean, Nick's played it.
That's good though.
Hugely more than I have, but even in just a couple games,
that sounds at least in theory like exactly what you would.
It's
want
exactly
out of StarCraft.
It is pretty much exactly what you want. Yeah,
right. From the multiplayer, and then the single player is like totally different.
Yeah.
So it's the right choice in both directions for sure.
Yeah.
It's a very well considered game.
Cool. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So how about that third Diablo game?
It's really fun.
Were you a monk?
We each played as every class. We went back there so many times. Kind of silly. And then the last time we played it, we...
Did you duel wizard?
That
was our first.
Because they actually had to unlock the monk before. That was like the first thing we did when we got in the door. And then after they made the announcement, like 2 hours later.
Oh, we got to play as the wizard!
Well, we did. Within 5 minutes of BlizzCon opening, actually, Nick and I were wizarding it up.
You got a good screenshot that you need to remember to post.
Nick, that was when we were playing as dual barbarians.
Right.
And Nick was playing a barbarian called Barbu. And my name was Remo or something. We'll show you guys the screenshot. But anyway. It was good. Wizard. It was super fun. I'm excited about it.
Yep.
And so was the monk. Those were probably the standout.
The monk was really good.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, I tend to think that. I mean, you weren't very happy with the. The witch doctor.
I wasn't not happy, but I think what they're doing though, the other two.
When this game comes out in 2 years, I would guess. But it's the kind of thing where they probably designed the monk, and that'll be everybody's favorite class, and then they'll fix the witch doctor, and that'll be everybody's favorite. That's probably what's going on. Yeah. The witch doctor just hasn't gotten much attention lately.
And you know, I have to say, like, for the most part, I really like how Diablo 3 looks. I mean. I do have, you know, some huge Diablo nerd opinions about the difference in style between Diablo 1 and 2 and 3. I mean, they're all different. But generally speaking, I do like how it looks. But there is one thing I am kind of bummed about in particular.
All that color.
And it's that the witch doctor... I think the necromancer was such a great visual thing with the army of skeletons. Like, I feel like that is the world of Diablo, is these crazy. It is the fucking skeletons. Well, Diablo, dude, hell. It's fucking like the name. It's so suggestive of this idea of sort of fire and brimstone and all that kind of stuff. And the witch doctor seems really weird and out of place. The witch doctor seems like it's from act three of Diablo 2, which is the least in character of Diablo. Yeah, I mean, it's fine. I mean, it's not breaking the game or anything, but
I do hope they sort of reconsider that class a bit.
Yeah.
I mean, there were some fun things with that class that I discovered.
Totally.
You can have
like the exploding dogs.
Once I discovered the fact that you can have your little dog minions, but then if you get the spell that explodes them, like Corpse Explosion worked. Yeah. So they're running around and then they just sort of, you hit a button and one of them explodes. And then you can hit another button, and then the second one explodes. I mean, you can just set off this chain reaction of exploding dogs that just pretty much explode everything around you if you use them. Yeah,
and that is what Explosion in Diablo 2 is about. I mean, there was nothing more awesome in Diablo 2 than marching into a room full of enemies with Corpse Explosion and then getting your army of dudes to start killing a few of them and then giving you into a perpetual cycle of never-ending corpse explosion. Man. Yeah, it was amazing. I still feel like the Necromancer is going to be a cooler class than the Witch Doctor.
Is the Necromancer in Diablo?
No. But I feel like the other classes... this is the reason I feel okay having this opinion, because I really feel like the other classes, they seem to have really improved a lot. It's only that one that I think the Necromancer is much, much cooler. But
it's quite possible that they may, in fact, add the Necromancer in with an expansion or something.
Maybe an expansion. We'll see. I don't think they'd have two pet classes.
Necromancer's Quest. You know.
But
the Necromancer.
Possibly. Yeah. I mean, it's unlikely, but it's certainly possible.
I think the wizard is definitely an improvement over the sorceress, though. I mean, general part of it is just the way the game works. Like
the sort of basic attack. Now, when you have like a wand or whatever, it's nice.
Yeah, I mean, that seems way more useful than the one in Diablo 2 for sure.
Yeah, you can just stand back as opposed to having to decide whether to whack a guy with your staff or just do nothing.
Right.
Yeah.
And also the general approach they've taken to potions. I think benefits the wizard a lot. Like in Diablo 2, and Jake is...
I'm doing nothing. Nothing is happening. In Diablo 2?
In Diablo 2, you basically have to constantly be chugging potions whenever your health is low, because that's just how you get more health. I mean, it's not... Yeah. I could be sort of have a grievous memory fault here, but there's no healing spell in Diablo 2, right?
I'm trying to think if the paladin had a direct healing spell.
The paladin maybe, but the sorceress definitely didn't. And so you'd kind of just be locked into that same cycle with all the other classes where you just, you know, there's no reason not to just have a million potions all the time and you just chug them constantly. Whereas in Diablo 3, you're constantly not constantly, but fairly often, loading up, generating little health orbs as you kill enemies. And it's nice to just have that be integrated into the flow of the game. And so if you're the wizard, I almost felt more confident getting right up in there and attacking guys. Whereas in Diablo 2, you know, especially early in the game, there's no real, it doesn't encourage that really. So that seemed a lot cooler. That class seems good.
Yeah. Also, I mean, in terms of mana, I think, there are no mana potions.
There are no mana potions
so
at all, right?
You're basically using your spells as you would, say, your sword as a barbarian.
Right, exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's a huge improvement. You don't have to worry about managing your mana potions, figuring out, you know, okay, I've got 6 left. I can use these cool spells now, and then I have to basically do nothing until I go back to, you know, town or whatever.
Right.
So,
and I suspect that they didn't have this available in the BlizzCon demo, but I suspect skill runes with the wizard are going to be rad.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, last year they showed off all that stuff.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I wasn't there last year.
Oh, God, it was amazing.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. It was amazing.
I missed an amazing wizard.
It was really amazing. Like, the combinations that you could just come up with.
Yeah.
You know, teleport.
They're not,
mixed, teleport talked, mixed with something. Yeah. You could, like, teleport into a guy and explode him into all these crazy things.
They're not
things.
Dynamic at all, are they? I mean, all that stuff is predetermined, right?
Oh, it has to be.
I mean, it's still fine.
But
yeah, just checking.
They've got to code that in there.
Right,
but,
right.
Yeah. But I mean, I think there are going to be enough combinations.
But that's nice because that means
satisfying.
You're not going to get anything where it's just the same as something else, except this one adds lightning damage instead of fire damage.
Yeah,
it's a custom.
It'll be fairly
thing
unique.
For each. Right?
Yeah,
and there are some cool things. Like I do love the old 2D sprite work just for that weird, very gritty, archaic look. But one really cool thing about the move to 3D is now, of course, corpses can be affected by physics. And so,
you know,
Nick and I, we were playing and we got to this bridge and you kill a bunch of guys on the bridge. And then as the wizard, if you cast, you know, a big destructive spell, the corpses will be flung off the bridge and it just looks...
Oh, it looks like Myth by Bungie.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it actually
kind of
does.
Yeah,
kind
it
of,
does
yeah.
actually. Especially with all the exploding
the blood
dudes and blood
just,
everywhere.
Oh, yeah, that is very Myth. Yeah.
It is extremely Myth. Yeah. They're that's so Myth.
That's so Myth.
There's maybe a little too much blood and lack of other interesting death animations, in fact.
I would agree.
Diablo 2 had a ridiculous range of death animations.
Yeah, I mean, that
well,
was
got plenty of time to add those in.
Yeah, I guess they do.
Yeah.
But Diablo 3 definitely defaults to huge shower explosion of blood.
Yes.
Which, you know, could be worse.
Speaking of that, completely unrelated to Blizzard, I was playing TF2 today, and it's a birthday day today.
Oh, yeah?
2 days ago, if you're listening to this now. So everyone was exploding in rainbow confetti and balloons and gifts.
Nice.
Oh, yeah.
That's awesome.
Thought I'd share that.
Man.
So Diablo 3 should switch that if you don't like the blood.
Well, they did say they'll have adjustable gore settings, but it probably
hopefully
won't be that.
Hopefully it turns all the way down to balloons and confetti.
Well, did you guys play Halo 3 with that skull mod?
No.
It's hilarious.
In Halo 3, one of the skulls you can get allows you to turn on party mode, which every grunt you headshot, their head explodes into confetti and it goes, yay! Like a court, like a whole crowd of grunts in the background cheers.
That's nice.
It's the best thing ever. It was really cool, especially in a game like Halo, because it is that Bungie sense of humor that has sort of been dormant for quite a while, at least within the within their games themselves. You know, they still have that attitude in their kind of PR, but... it does have that great old school kind of Bungie feel. But in Halo 3, so Diablo 3 was fun. The world in general, I guess, just feels more dynamic and interactive. You know, you're in like when you're underground in a cavern, you can actually just hit, shoot or strike big stone pillars and they'll crumble and fall.
Yeah.
And there was one really great dungeon. I thought it was great where you go in and as soon as you enter, a timer starts, and it's like you've entered this cavern as it's kind of collapsing, and you have 3 minutes to get to the exit, wherever it is. And
what's great about that is I assume it was born out of just somebody trying to come up with a way to cause a player to make a decision between dying or going for more loot.
Right, exactly.
I mean,
which is
like
exactly what it is.
It's just,
oh
God, like there's that awesome thing like halfway across the screen, but if I go there, I'm probably going to die.
Right.
And, you know, I mean, the incentive is that if you survive the... because if you die, there's no penalty. You just sort of respawn.
No.
But if you don't complete it, you get, you know, if you do complete it, you get a ton of experience.
You get a ton of experience. And if you don't complete it, you get nothing and it's over for it. It's gone forever.
Yeah.
And that was cool. I mean, it was sort of minimized in our case because we were playing obviously temporary characters that we'd never see again. So that decision was less present, but you could still feel it, you know, like, oh, there's some cool shit that I might want to use right now. And it was, there's nothing like that at all in Diablo 2. That was a totally new addition.
Yep.
And, you know, those games are so comprised of random dungeons that just a mechanic like that makes it feel totally different. I mean, it's I suspect things, if they have other things in that vein.
Well, what's nice is that, I mean, they were saying in general that the end of the game will be, you know, it won't just be, okay, now we're going to, you know, just go kill this same boss 50 times, which is pretty much what everybody did at the end of Diablo 2.
Right.
You know, because a lot of this stuff can be randomized and regenerated, and it'll work in the same, you know, way that a Warcraft.
Yeah, well, people took it to the extent where they made custom bots that were specifically programmed for a specific boss, where it knew exactly how many steps to take in one direction, exactly what spells to cast, like for the optimum destruction of this boss. And you could just, I did it one time just to see what it was like, and it literally, all it does is input specific mouse and keyboard commands into your computer, and it just plays the game, and you just watch your character walk up to this boss, hit it a bunch of times, and then click everywhere on the screen so that it grabs any loot that might be. It's hilarious. And people will just run that for days and harvest all of the stuff that would drop and then sell it on the internet.
That's a fun thing.
And there, in fact, Nick and I went, yeah, I know, it's such a stupid thing to have developed as a way to play a game. And you know, Nick and I signed on to Battle.net, we're playing it, and there were still tons of people in there spamming to go to their stupid website and buy their Diablo
actually
stuff.
What was hilarious, playing World of Warcraft, I don't know how this happened, but I was just running around in the starting zone of the Cataclysm beta, and there were already spammers at, like, just like yelling like go to like, gold elite blah 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 dot com
in the BlizzCon beta.
I don't understand it, I couldn't figure out I have no idea how that was happening. Like, maybe there were like people sent, like, I have to assume that there were like employees of those companies sent to BlizzCon to spam all the people playing the game.
You can never
otherwise
escape.
Like,
you can never escape.
How does that work?
How is that? Did you have to go to demo stations?
Yeah.
And like, wouldn't a Blizzard employee walk by and they'd be like,
exactly.
Google, like, just someone just pasting the same string and hitting enter over and over again? Like, I can see you right here spamming your goddamn gold site.
Yeah.
I notice you.
It was really weird.
Secretly, Blizzard actually runs all of that stuff. And they forgot to turn it off for BlizzCon. Fuck, we left it on the beta server.
Yeah. I hate that shit.
Yeah.
I mean, I know it's an obvious thing to say, but it, like, It's like email spam. It is just one of those things that we're basically stuck with forever. And there's
They're
going
to be able to crack down on it with the new Battle.net.
Why?
Because everything is tied to a unique account.
Oh, right.
So unless they want to, you know, buy up 1,000 accounts, they
probably will.
Yeah.
I mean, they already do World of Warcraft.
I don't know if you can create a Battle.net account. Just, I don't know what that's tied to exactly.
An email address.
Yeah. So maybe you could just do that.
I mean, if someone's willing to pay an additional $15 a month every time they make a new World of Warcraft one, I'm sure they're willing to do whatever else you'll need to do.
That's true. That's unfortunate.
Did you see the thing? What's the name of the studio that makes Eve?
CCP.
Yeah. Did you see the thing where those guys were running a bunch of stuff to figure out who were doing, like, what is it? ISK?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's the currency.
ISK for currency stuff, and they, like, killed off a few thousand accounts, and their server load dropped by a third.
Oh, God. Oh shit!
They published their charts on their blog. I was like,
I missed that.
They ran a bunch of stuff to figure out which accounts were doing that, and they killed them. And it was all the people who had were just spamming, like doing weird like mining spam and stuff to raise gold.
That's insane.
And the server load chart just goes boop, and it just drops. It's like, oh my fucking God! So
one guy, like one legitimate guy, is just like, I just really love mining.
Well, that's actually what they said. They said in the zones where they not knocked all of those people out, they're like actual like in Eve settlers who are like, mining's now a worthwhile profession.
So,
like,
they just
boosted the local economy.
Yeah,
like,
the job market for
mining on asteroids is apparently viable now that it's not as crowded with spammers.
Jesus. That's hilarious.
Yeah, so that happened.
Government creating jobs.
Yeah, all this. I was just reading their blog because I was linked to that. But that and the Plex stuff is all really amazing.
What stuff?
The what stuff?
Plex, is that
the what
called?
Stuff?
What the fuck?
The what
Flex?
Stuff?
It's something. It's like the
what stuff?
Oh, it's the four letter acronym, like the pilot license something or other in Eve. It's like instead of currency, there's another sort of. I'll have to look it up and talk about it some other time. It's an interesting thing where you can like buy. It's
basically buy time for your account or for other people's
accounts. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so it's this, it's like an... But it's the sort of the second economy.
Okay. So they've just named it or something? Yeah, yeah. Okay, yeah. Yeah, I've sort of done that a little bit.
It's interesting.
It's,
so, but
it's weird.
What does that mean to say you've done that? What does that imply?
Well, actually, I've done both ways. I've used real money to buy ISK, and then I've sold ISK for real money. It's basically just a weird transaction.
Right, well, this thing isn't about money. It's about time and ease.
Well, I know, but that's how you do it. You can sell ISK to a company that will buy it for... In return,
a company? You mean a website somewhere?
Yeah.
Oh, but I mean, like the actual developers of the game.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's
built,
okay.
It's actually built.
I forgot
in,
that. Yeah,
it's built into
that.
The project or into right. the product now, so yeah. you can.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because they were missing out on a lot of.
Right,
lot
but
of
I mean,
that.
They're hoping to do that to keep out of game finance trading going on, where it's all you either have in game currency or you have time.
Right.
You know, paid account time.
Yeah.
Which you can also give to other people who are in your company and that sort of thing.
That game is ridiculous.
It's but reading all the stuff about the spam versus server load and about their like secondary economy management, like what the fuck is going on?
Yeah.
Sorry, anyway.
It makes me want to talk about all that MMO stuff.
Yeah.
But
all that MMO stuff.
Nick's MMO stuff has been a weird, like, red herring for the past month.
Yeah.
Where every week he's like,
anyway.
I have all this MMO stuff to talk about. And we're like, oh, what stuff? And he's like, oh, I don't know. Just a bunch of stuff about MMOs.
Yeah, Nick's and MMO every- stuff after the break.
Yep. Time for the break.
All right. Video
game. I mean, maybe not.
It's the trade-off between a, like, slightly more in-depth conversation and beating a horse to death. You know what I mean? It's like, it could be one or the other. it could be both. I mean, it's
beating a horse to death?
The dead horse. I'm sorry.
Beating a horse to death?
Well, I mean, yeah, right.
To beat the weird, like, European president, are you beating a horse to death?
You know, to beat a horse that's dead, you've got to beat it to death first, right? I mean,
well, it could have died from some other cause.
I guess.
And then someone showed up and starts beating it up. Quit beating a dead horse bag.
Yeah, feeding a dead horse back.
Yeah.
Speaking of horse, did you see the Time Donkey screenshot?
No, I still haven't seen it. Wait, we should be talking about this on the podcast.
Oh.
Video game.
It's pretty great.
We're back. Speaking of horse bag.
Yeah.
Speaking of horse bags, what, Nick?
There's a Time Donkey screenshot that exists.
Of what?
Of a Time Donkey.
What does it look like?
It looks like a regular old donkey, but he has a gold
really?
Chain.
I'm not going to pay for that.
It's like a gold chain, like a hardcore rapper chain.
Really?
Yeah.
Is it like
sort of
is it like a is it like a Flava Flav? Does it have a clock on it?
It may actually. There's an
because he is a time donkey.
Well, right.
Oh, that'd be pretty good. Actually.
He may actually have a clock. He's facing away from the camera deliberately. I assume.
Oh man!
And
the clock will be a reveal.
He's facing this sort of weird landscape with all these portals, and I have to assume that those are like his portals to other, you know, dimensions.
Oh, man. What the hell is this game? I don't even know what it is.
I don't know.
There's a video of it, and it is about recording your donkey and then playing it back with yourself.
Yeah.
I saw they're starting a beta soon or something.
Yeah.
It is a fucking old clock.
Oh, is it?
Oh, man. That's great. We're looking at a screenshot.
Yeah, there's
right
a screenshot on Blurst.
Oh, nice.
It's blurry, but...
Oh, okay.
It's blurry.
So, it's definitely a donkey with a gold chain.
Yeah, that wasn't the one I looked at, but that...
That's pretty excellent.
That definitely is,
so, that's a time donkey for sure.
Is he wearing some kind of hat?
He might have some sort of hat device.
I hope it's a top hat.
No, it doesn't look like a top hat.
It's sort of a fez, maybe? Or some kind
it,
of
looks like, it looks like the chain might wrap around up his neck and then become a headpiece. Like, it might be a time machine.
Jesus.
Wow. All right.
Oh, it might not be. It might just be a vest. I mean, a fez.
Jake might be inventing an even more ridiculous donkey.
I think that the donkey has some sort of metal apparatus that goes up his neck and becomes a time helmet.
Sweet.
So.
Wow.
Jake's time donkey.
Yeah.
Beating a dead time donkey.
The description of time donkey is the donkey travels through time against his will.
I love that.
Well, so it's like the time traveler's wife.
But the tacos are delicious, it says, because it's the internet. But I'm glad that the donkey travels through time against his will.
Yeah, that's really good.
Time donkey.
Yeah.
Could I love him more?
Probably. A little bit more when he's less blurry.
I need more definition in my time donkey.
Yeah.
Time donkey HD.
So what's next? MMO stuff or Battle.net?
We should probably tackle Battle.net.
All right.
So that I can continue.
Yeah.
To be something I don't talk about.
Battle.net is the new one that launches with StarCraft 2.
Oh, Battle.net 2?
Battle.net 2.
Battle.net 2.
I think it actually is Battle.net 2.
2.0.
0.0, yeah, 0.0, is pretty crazy.
It's, like it's been 1.0 since Warcraft 2 came out?
No, since Diablo came out in 1996.
Oh, was it Diablo that brought Battle?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, yeah.
So in its like 13th year or 14th year anniversary.
Yep.
Jesus. Yeah, it's been by the time StarCraft 2 comes out, it will have been 9 years since Blizzard released a non-Warcraft game.
Ten years?
Lord of Destruction came out in 2001.
Lord of Destruction, I suppose, was technically 2001, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
That's close. Really weird. Because, you know, that means that, I mean, Warcraft 1 was 94 or 95? I think 94.
94.
So that means they did... created all their franchises and released amazing games for each of them in 6 or 7 years. 6 years, basically, right? I mean, it took them a year or whatever to make Warcraft 1, because that's about how long they took for some of those games in those days. And so it took them 6 or 7 years. And then in another 10 years, they released basically Warcraft 3 and World of Warcraft.
Well, yeah.
I mean,
the Diablo developers left. And then World of Warcraft became large that the StarCraft team had to go over there.
I know, it's crazy talking to those guys about what the teams are all doing, because they're like, "Oh yeah, our team just got totally commandeered by the Warcraft
art team
guys
specifically."
For a while.
Pretty much destroyed the StarCraft 2 art team.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
So yeah,
that's weird. But anyway, Battle.net is finally.
It is weird considering they have like 4,000 employees. But yeah.
I know. It's always so funny when you're, because it happens a lot. I've had this answer come up frequently when I talk to Blizzard guys, and they're like, "Oh, you know, we could be doing this, but we just don't have the resources for it. You know, right. we don't really have
400 people at that Irvine studio."
Dude, 400? There's 1,000.
No, or I'm sorry,
just at Irvine, 1,500. There's 1,000.
Yeah,
or are there 1,500 really?
Yeah, but I think I can't remember the breakdown in terms of actual people.
Well, I think I think it is a third. I think a third of them or something are support.
Right,
so that would make sense if it's 1,500 and then 1,000.
Okay,
but maybe even more than are support. But they have a lot of people there for sure. Anyway, they're finally making a new Battle.net, and in fact, the guy heading it up is Greg Kinesa, who was who headed up Xbox Live for 7 years. It was his kind of pet project, and he worked at PopCap more recently for a couple of years, but his big deal was Xbox Live, and he's probably a good person to have on board there.
Yeah.
The new Battle.net looks crazy. I mean, I'm sure most people saw the news that StarCraft 2, not at launch, but at some point after launch, will allow you to sell mods through the StarCraft 2 Battle.net marketplace.
Mod store.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of probably, I think, a good move to do it after launch, because that'll ensure that from launch until that point, there's already a healthy kind of environment of free mods. Yeah,
yeah
right. Yeah. So it's not a situation where immediately starts just...
Nobody could create a high-quality mod.
People could sell stuff right off the bat and sour the
entire
concept.
Well, I don't know how that's exactly going to work.
Well, you can't if they're not opening the store.
I know. I don't know if they're going to allow everybody to just put in insane price on their mod or whatever. I don't know how that's going to work.
Yeah.
There may be some kind of process.
It sounds like they're being fairly ambitious about it, though. I mean, they led off specifically with the example of, Rob Pardo specifically with, they would like to see people actually hiring a small development team to make a StarCraft 2 mod with the assumption that they'll be able to recoup their investment, which is pretty extreme. That seems maybe a little like wishful thinking, but you never
probably.
Know. But
is the idea that they're hoping that in the future, instead of Dota clones being made by other studios, they will be made for pay on the
what's weird about it, they said that Dota wouldn't even count as something that they would see as being priced.
Ambitious stuff.
Yeah, they're looking at really ambitious. I mean, the editor is going to be pretty expansive. I mean, you'll be able to do a lot of stuff with that editor.
They're even programming functionality in the editor that's not used in their own games. Like a specific item system, which StarCraft 2 doesn't use at all, but they are putting into the editor just because they think it's something that people might need for a custom game. So
crazy. All right.
Yeah, it is pretty nuts. And I don't know. I think I might be under embargo for this right now, but the upcoming Stardock game Elemental does some stuff like that.
The embargo's up on that. So
is it? Okay, good. So the upcoming Stardock game Elemental is doing a really cool thing where I don't think they have plans for like a specific paid marketplace or anything, but they do have an extremely awesome, ambitious editor for their game, And it that allows you to basically modify any aspect of the game at all. I mean, you can import your own models from Maya or whatever. You can make your own textures. You can go in there and change all the game's, I think, Python script. It's pretty crazy. I mean, they're saying, you know, theoretically, if you wanted to take our game Elemental and make Civ 5 with it, you could do that. They're really trying to just expose every layer of functionality,
that's
basically.
Cool. That's really cool.
Not making it open source, but, you know, a few steps shy of that, it sounds like.
Well, it's something you couldn't actually get into the core engine code.
No, you couldn't, but you can change the scripting.
The gameplay stuff, yeah.
Right,
it's interesting.
Exactly, yeah. Their goal, basically, is to make, because this isn't really a thing that's been done very frequently, their goal is to make the equivalent of a really versatile game engine, but specifically for strategy games. You know, whereas most portable game engines that are made these days are intended for action games, right?
Yeah.
They're trying to make one that supports as many different facets of strategy games
as
possible.
There's probably people who are going to be really into that.
Yeah, exactly.
Although I wonder how much of that they're going to end up. I wonder how steamrolled they're going to be by whatever the StarCraft.
I know.
I was just thinking about that.
What I'm wondering.
Probably be some really ambitious people who are into that. Nobody ever plays their stuff.
There are worse things have happened than two companies trying to do a really good job of putting out an exposed indies or toolset.
Yeah, definitely. Exactly.
Because if they both keep doing that, we'll end up with a good community.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
And Battle.net in general is just, it's a pretty interesting initiative overall. I mean, they're trying to basically one-up Xbox Live. I mean, that's certainly the way Greg Kinesa described it when I talked to him. And one of the things I asked him, you know, is this must feel different coming from a company where you have to make this system that every developer on the platform has to use if they want to go online.
Yeah.
Everyone has to fit within it. And now you're making one where you're really only making it for yourselves, at least right now. It sounded like you asked if they might extend it to other developers eventually.
Yeah.
Maybe yes.
It sounded like, we're not saying today, but
but at some point.
Well, and I also asked them, about consoles and maybe bringing it to consoles in some kind of weird form. And he was like, well, you know, how do I, and then at the very end of this long, lengthy answer, he said, so anyway, I don't really know how to answer that. We haven't really decided anything. I'm not really quite sure how that would work. And he's like, well, yeah, actually, I kind of am, but I'm not going to tell you. So,
yeah, I mean,
I have a feeling I can't imagine that they're not planning for a lot of this stuff in the back of their minds.
Yeah, I mean, was the implication that it would not be surprising if at some point other Activision PC games ended up on there?
Activision, I could certainly see.
I don't know. It would be cool if that happened, but I have a feeling that they actually are not focusing on.
I don't think they are either. I mean,
doesn't seem to be a reason to do that.
It's definitely
right
in
now.
The far back of their mind.
But it's
probably still something there.
It's probably less far in the back of the mind of people on the Activision side.
Exactly. Right.
Bobby Kotick, it's all over his mind.
No, Battle.net. Our own proprietary network.
12 million people, you say? Interesting.
Maybe they all want skateboard controllers.
Oh, man, by the way.
What if they'd subscribe to them?
By the way, fucking, isn't it amazing that a week after Bobby Kotick is called out for saying, if it was up to me, I'd just raise those prices even more. A week later, it's like Call of Duty, Modern Warfare 2, first PC game to hit the $60.
$60.
Yeah. So, nice one, Kotick. Well played. You fooled us all. I love that he followed that quote up with like, I'm just joking, whatever.
Yeah, right.
He's like, are you? I don't know about that. So, that was fun. It's weird that those guys in Blizzard are the same company. But I guess not that weird. We got to buy StarCraft 2 three times.
Was an Acticon across the street?
Was not
like
present.
A sad Wolfenstein
and
station.
Then, yeah, sort of
like six people just sort of huddled around
the,
it. Like
in the local barbershop is Vivendicon. Just two guys on a Game Boy.
We used to own Spyro. I guess they still do.
We still do. Oh,
oh man, sorry.
Play Spyro.
No, Blizzard Battle.net sounds cool. And so anyway, his answer was, when I asked him that, was, now obviously the difference is you don't ever need to worry about you know, someone's single player game requiring a leaderboard, even though that makes no sense or whatever. I mean, you know, it's if the game doesn't.
That's the worst thing ever, by the way.
Says Jake, a single player game developer, Telltale Games. I mean, if a game doesn't need something, they just don't need to use it. And if a game does need something, they can just customize the system to just have it right there.
I will say, in the case of Xbox Live Arcade, maybe if your game doesn't have a multiplayer component, you could have not required a leaderboard for certification. That's a pretty simple workaround for that particular example. Don't have one.
Jake's not bitter at all.
No.
It's just goofy. I don't care. It's just, you know.
Yeah.
I love putting a leaderboard into an adventure game.
who's the number one?
Yeah, who's the leader?
Wallace and Gromit player.
I don't know. Some guy who's played it through a lot of times because we just tracked how many dialogue lines you've heard.
Oh, really? Nice.
That's hilarious.
You have to have a leaderboard.
Yeah. So if you
there's some guy just clicking on the same
plus
message
one each time.
Yeah, every time a dialogue line is exposed.
Oh my god.
Some guy just sits
you
there.
You'd be the best Wallace and Gromit player in the
world. Hey Max, how are you doing? Hey Max, how you doing? Yeah, like, you know, just like
anyway. Hey, but you know. If Warcraft Adventures ever comes out, we won't have to worry about issue on Battle.net.
God, I was so sad when Warcraft Adventures was canceled. I was like genuinely sad. I'd been reading previews and PC gamers for years.
Yeah, go back and look at it on YouTube. No,
I know, but anyway, let's
not talk about Avengers.
They're making games and Battle.net for games, and yeah, it's definitely Nick and I had a huge discussion about Battle.net and kind of the PC platform and all this stuff. I don't know if we need to necessarily
go into it.
It was a long dorky discussion. Well, it was as a recap, and please stop me if I start going on too long.
Enough!
But okay. Basically, we were just talking about the long-term future of Battle.net and the PC, and sort of we were talking generally about the insular nature of Blizzard. You know, they're very much a company that would create this ridiculously ambitious platform just for their three games. You know, it's no one else really does that. I mean, EA's got EA Online or whatever, but it's so bare bones compared to what this is. And
I mean, Valve sort of had it when Steam first.
Yeah, right. Valve is an example of the one which is sort of going more of the Xbox Live. Well, but that's more of the Xbox Live route, where they're like, anyone can plug into this.
Well, but
it wasn't
originally that.
Right. Whereas Blizzard, I mean, this is already sounds kind of more crazy than Steam in a certain way. The difference is that Steam serves as a PC-wide thing now, at least now, which is nice. Yeah. And Blizzard is the opposite. And we're talking about, you know, one, they've certainly got this captive audience now who, you know, you've got your friends list and then in World of Warcraft, and then you see a little icon that pops up that it's like, this guy in your guild is now playing StarCraft 2. And the thought of that just bringing all these new people into StarCraft 2 and eventually Diablo 3, which will certainly happen. But, you know, I was talking about how I do overall kind of prefer the Valve approach, which is let's make this cool big hub where we can centralize this whole community of PC gamers and expose them to all these things from different developers and show them all this different stuff. And it is funny just to hear the philosophical difference in the way Blizzard talks about things. You know, when they come right up front and are like, you know, just we are making the StarCraft stuff because we don't want people making stuff for Steam. We want them making it for our game. And it's like, yeah, I mean, I guess that's probably what everyone thinks.
Bungie was the same way before Xbox Live, actually, as well, with Myth and Marathon. And did Oni have multiplayer? I don't remember if it did.
I don't remember if it
did. But they had Bungie.net, which was at the time sort of the Bungie parallel to Battle.net.
Yeah.
And it was the same thing where it was like all Bungie stuff, all of your Myth ranks and your Marathon ranking and stuff were all handled through that one.
Well, Relic kind of had that too, right?
Do they?
I don't know if they still do, but they had Relic Online, right?
Yeah. I don't remember what that.
Yeah.
I mean, I think, but then like Bungie obviously is now all XBLA.
They're not using that anymore. I mean, they're using games for Windows and stuff like that.
Yeah, Valve has opened up their platform, but Bungie, because they're Bungie.
Right.
Is just instead they've decided to stick on the weird 90s branch, but it's now like taken to the most extreme fucking maniacal extreme possible.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
Which is weird, but it's, I don't know. I don't mind that they're off doing that.
No, I don't mind either. It's just a difference in the, especially on the PC, which is obviously an open platform. There is just a different spoken kind of tone. You know, every time you talk to Valve, obviously Valve wants people on Steam and obviously Valve wants to make money and obviously, but you know, you talk to Valve and they're like, we're so excited about the PC and we're so excited about this ecosystem and here's these things why developers should be on this thing.
Well,
and then
probably because they're controlling it. I mean, if you're a company as big as Valve, but if they had not come up with Steam, they probably would have their own little insular network.
Oh no, I know, but I just mean you can get Valve to much more easily talk about the PC as a general platform, yeah. And then you talk to Blizzard, and they're like, "It's just I don't know. There's a difference in
You were taking it to the extreme, though. You were saying like, "Man, in 10 years, imagine a world where only Blizzard sits atop a pile of shit rubble. The PC platform lies in ruins, and Blizzard rears its crown and laughs." was basically.
I don't know if that's exactly what I was saying, but
it sounds like what you'd say.
That's what I was saying. Mainly because every other PC game is shit. there is sort of a frequent, especially like in the gaming press, there is definitely an attitude of like the PC is where the Blizzard games and the Valve games are, and I don't really think there's anything else there. Anyway, those companies make PC games though. I mean, you do get that kind of thing quite a lot. And it can be frustrating, but what can you do, I guess?
Maybe they think that Valve makes everything that's on Steam.
Yeah, right. There probably are people who
I heard they
think
did
that.
The PC port of the Civ games and XCOM.
I mean, we get letters from people sometimes who think we make the games that we report on at Gamma Sutra. So you the things people...
Well, it starts to say the word game in the name of your site.
It's true. Yeah. It does say GOM. So
did you make this video, GOM? I'm pretty sure that you did.
Video GOMs.
Video GAMs.
Yeah, like legs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, video GAMs.
Yeah, we do get crazy letters from people who are outraged about various things that we have nothing to do with. It's weird. Oh, and then sometimes people assume we make the game, so they send us their game ideas. They're like, for your next game, it's weird that they'd go to the trouble of finding out our mailing address. And not be able to realize we don't...
Well, you guys practice the art and science of making games.
That's true. I guess it does say that on our website. Actually, it's the art and business now.
Oh really? Yeah. Was it ever science?
Yep.
Really?
That was a couple years ago. But yeah, wow. It used to be the art and science, and now it's the art and business. Because we totally sold out to the man.
Yeah. We did, apparently.
Yeah, we did.
It's lame.
Yep.
Change that.
People complain about it all the time.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm complaining. It's stupid.
All right. I don't... It's not my decision. Yeah, what are we talking about? I don't know.
BattleNet.
You're talking about the Blizz. Are we done talking about that stuff?
I guess we're done with the Blizz.
We could do reader mail for a minute.
We could. We could do that.
Or we could wait till the reader mail spectacular.
I want to mention Mass Effect.
Oh, God, there's some other stuff we have to mention, too. But
oh,
really?
My God. Yeah.
Well, last week's episode was short and bad, so we can maybe stretch this one out a little more.
Seattle Thumbs Omnibus Spectacular.
Yeah. So I'm starting over Mass Effect yet again.
You were killing like a million dudes earlier.
I was killing a lot of dudes.
It looked like a pretty easy game actually when you were playing it just now.
Yeah. So basically every time we talk about Mass Effect, and this has happened at least twice before, the feedback that we get is always either, man, you idiot, you suck at a video game and can't believe you thought Mass Effect was hard at all. You big stupid douche. Like, I hate you. Or, I mean, it's literally, people get aggressive about it. It's bizarre.
Games journalists can't play.
Yeah, exactly.
A game that's
can't
gotten
play
a challenge
game.
To it.
Right. Or there's the feedback we get, and quite honestly, more of the feedback we get is, yeah, man, completely true. I stopped playing that game after a few hours because it was frustrating and stupid.
It's because they were playing as a girl.
Yeah, it turns out the female character is completely like Age of Conan.
Right. Yeah.
That's true in Age of Conan?
The animation speed was different, and since attacks actually like linked up to the animation speed like on a per hit basis, the female character was actually weaker on accident, and people were so offended and pissed off.
How did you might not notice that?
I have no idea.
Anyway,
it's Age of Conan.
apparently they've improved it recently, Conan. But I don't really know,
they're releasing a new expansion.
Yeah, they are. Yeah. Anyway,
is that the Funcom one?
It is, yeah. And they are making another MMO, The Secret World. That's Ragnar Turnquist's game.
Yes,
the guy who did the Longest Journey and Dreamfall. Anyway.
Where you fight monsters in your kitchen.
Right.
That sounds like a Ragnar Turnquist game.
It really does, yeah. It is like super Ragnar Turnquist game.
Yeah.
You'll
be wearing your underwear at some point in that
game. You certainly will.
Yes.
So, Mass Effect... I'm pretty sure the thing, okay, there are probably other people who are just, you know, super good at these kind of games, but I think
from
what I can tell in general, based on the feedback and some other people have, thanks Jake, some other people have, have hypothesized this, is that your class choice makes a huge, huge difference on how challenging the game is. And I've always done the Infiltrator class because my personal video game instincts are sniper. Just like a super magnet, yeah, towards sniper rifles, which I just enjoy using in games so much. But especially the actual use of a sniper rifle in this game is so hilariously bad that it just makes your character stupid. And I guess before I assumed there wasn't such a massive difference between the control mechanism for the sniper rifle and for the other guns, I guess there is. And I guess this still exists on the Xbox 360 version, but I guess it's even more extreme on the PC version to try to compensate for
having mouse aim,
yeah. Right, which is obviously you can be super accurate with. And so they make the sniper rifle even more inaccurate to the point where it just wildly swings around the screen. And you can either use that or your pistol, which is why would you play a sniper rifle class to use your pistol, which everyone has, or your assault rifle, which every single time you load it up, it's like, warning, your character doesn't know how to use this. And so the game is basically encouraging you to use this shitty, shitty weapon that, I mean, it's ridiculous. And so I started over yet again. This is the fourth time, if you count the original time I played. Fourth time in total, I've started over Mass Effect, having completed it once. And I started with the soldier character, which every single person who says, who mentions class in their response, they always say, oh, just do soldier, that one's easy.
I think that's how I played it first, yeah.
And yeah, they're right, it's fucking way easier. So I think the class balance in this game is just terrible. It's
case
just
closed.
Well, I hope so. I mean, I yeah. You know, I haven't, obviously I haven't gotten that far yet. I only just restarted today, so I mean, hopefully case closed, I don't know.
Well, yeah, I mean, I didn't have any problems like that, so.
Yeah, so it seems like a massive oversight.
But I'm not a baby.
I guess you're not a baby. I don't know.
The other thing
they
didn't mention was, are you finished?
Well, no, but you know what frustrates me, though? You know what frustrates me? Is I bet that they've taken this feedback to heart. There's no way to ignore it. And I bet in Mass Effect 2, the sniper will not be infuriating to play. But now, you know, I either have to play through, like, now that I've started a new character, I either have to play through the whole thing with the shitty thing so they've got the good save with the sniper to get ready for what I hope is a better sniper in Mass Effect 2.
Carry over,
or
right, yeah.
I play through it with an easy class, the soldier, and then by the time I get to Mass Effect 2, I don't get access to what I hope will be a cool character. So that's irritating, but I would rather have the non-frustrating experience now, so I'll probably just play the soldier. Anyway, God, Mass Effect. I don't mind that I have to keep starting over this game because the beginning of the game really is amazing. It really is the best. There are so many things they do well, and it is so cool at the beginning. Every time I talk about it, there's new cool stuff. Like we were talking about at the beginning.
Didn't you get pretty far with your sniper recently?
Well, I got to the first. Yeah,
you got
I
to mean, the part I, where you were frustrated.
Right. So I was like a good. It was yeah. No, I played for several hours. But
that's fun.
Whatever. The only stuff I get to replay is the stuff that's really good. So
yeah. Okay.
That's fine.
So you live in denial for a couple more hours.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I've got time. This game's not out until Mass Effect 2 is not out until next year. So
right.
Whatever. And they did recently confirm Xbox 360 and PC will come out on the same day.
Yeah,
so
that's cool.
That was nice. Oh, new patch, Mass Effect 1, PC, finally. This patch they've been promising for months finally exists. I just remembered. I didn't have any. It fixed a whole bunch of shit that I didn't have problems with.
We're in the
with,
new section of the Mass Effect podcast.
I know. Yeah, exactly. So I'm sorry. I'll cut it off now.
Patch.
You can download it. It's kind of hidden, but. I think Nick, you put a story
Search
up on Shaq News, right?
I did, yeah.
So if you go to Shaq News, you can find a link to it.
Yeah.
How about that little pitch there?
Patch.
Yeah.
Pitch.
We'll take another break, and I'll line up some mail, and then we'll come back and record.
I don't want to talk about any video games, but I want to talk about Idle Thumbs meetups. We should mention.
Oh yeah, we
actually met some real people who listen to our podcast.
They exist. There are at least a few people.
Save this for reader mail. Way before we talk about our readers.
Oh well, yeah. I guess it does sort of fit.
No, that's fine.
Well, whatever. We've already started. So.
This train's rolling.
We did, yeah. Okay. You can't stop the reader train. We put out an extremely last minute
a tweet,
Twitter post,
the final tweet,
advertising our presence.
Yeah, it was pretty slapdash.
The worst way, by the way, because the 3G network and all the cell networks were completely
destroyed. Oh yeah, they
always
get overloaded with these things now
during BlizzCon. So it was the absolute worst way to broadcast the existence of a meetup. But
maybe slightly less worse than holding up a sign saying "Idle Thumbs" and walking around.
It was weird, though. I mean, well, I think people...
That would have been cool.
People recognized
if anyone actually...
You know how people recognize us? We were underneath the Diablo sign. Yeah. They probably... Of course. Oh. Yeah.
Well, and then also, it was so funny. The way the first guy, like, before... Because at a certain point, we at least had a critical mass of five of us total. But, you know, at when the first guy... we had two meetups over 2 days, and they were different people each time.
Yeah.
But anyway, the first guy... found us because we were talking about Monkey Island 2. And he's like, man, Monkey Island 2, are you guys Idle Thumbs?
Yeah. That was amazing.
We were like, yeah. So that was pretty funny. Anyway, we met some dudes and they were really cool.
Yeah.
They were all really cool.
Yeah, they were.
They were not at all scary, weird dudes like the guy who called us on the phone.
Yeah, no Suckbox guys or anything.
Yeah, right. Yeah. No, it was cool. So we're going to PAX in a few weeks and hoping to get something slightly more advanced planned out where we can meet up with a bunch of dudes.
At least two of us will be there, possibly all three of us.
Jake and I are going. We're trying to pressure guilt Nick into going.
Yeah.
So you guys can all write in or send messages.
We're trying to pressure guilt Nick into going. His nickname is Guilt. He's Guilt Nick Brecken.
Guilt Nicholas Brecken.
Yeah. So we're trying to pressure old guilt Nick into going.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you're going to PAX, we'll be walking around PAX.
Yep.
And or I'll be sitting behind the table at the Telltale booth.
Right.
Yep. But I'll be saying Idle Thumbs every about 25 seconds, so...
And video games. Actually, one of the guys who came up to us introduced himself just by saying video games, so that was...
Yeah.
That was pretty good.
Yeah, that was pretty weird.
So that's the official... If you're wondering who is from Idle Thumbs at PAX, just walk around to people saying video games, and if one of them responds by saying...
Video games?
Then you'll know that they're an Idle Thumbs listener.
Right. We have lots of listeners, you'll find.
Yeah. Or they'll just say, yeah, this is the video games conference. Yep. Right.
But that
correct.
Includes the words video games. So,
right.
so you know they must listen to Idle Thumbs.
Okay. Yeah.
That
makes sense. Yeah. Well, we'll try to tell you guys sooner than the day of that time.
Yeah. Watch all of Twitter for someone mentioning Idle Thumbs.
Right. Just do a Twitter search for Idle Thumbs.
Or for PAX.
For PAX. Yeah. Anyway. Now we're going to take a break and get some reader mail and come back.
Yeah. I think you're the one guy. Who kept pointing out like our inadequacy in basically doing everything thumbs related. Just basically like, why don't you guys just go on other podcasts? Why don't you just announce that you're going to PAX ahead of time? Yeah. Why don't you just make a better podcast? Why don't you do this? And we're like, I don't know.
Yeah.
We're just making this up every week. We don't know what we're doing.
Talking about how
God, he was just
how, like nobody listens to our podcast and he's like, well, why don't you just do this and this and this and this and this? And we're like, we don't think of things.
Yeah. We need to hire that guy as like our podcast manager,
I
guess.
He's our community manager.
Yeah. Jesus.
Yeah.
He listed off like 10 different things too.
I know,
he's like, it's like, why don't you?
Wait, why did you just start it again?
We're recording still.
Oh, is that going to the episode? I guess. I mean, video game. All right, so we're back, and we're gonna kick it off with some 55 Wizard on. That's our voicemail line, 55 Wizard on. And
call and leave us something.
Yeah, here's the first one.
Wizard.
All right, now let's do some reader mail.
Yeah.
Moving right along here. We haven't done reader mail in a while. We're probably going to do a standalone
all-mail cast
read blast of some kind in the relatively near future because we got a lot of good mail and we never have enough time to do it all. Let's see here. first off, like I sort of alluded to earlier, a lot of mail we got in the last week or so was people... talking about Mass Effect, basically, and I forgot. Not only was it a class thing, people also said specifically, and Nick, I think you mentioned this, specifically that particular planet, the ice planet, which is the first one I went to, you kind of just choose arbitrarily. There isn't really any prompting as to where you should go next after the Citadel. That is apparently the most difficult one by a fairly significant margin. A guy said even when he went through it and did it last, it was still the most difficult. Jake's got the cop glasses back on.
Yeah.
He's
always so
sitting
smooth
in front
when
of
he puts
giant
those on.
Mustache.
Yeah.
Never drops any pens or anything.
So I won't read all of them. I'll just read one of them as an example. So,
Chris, you are the best at Mass Effect.
No, Super Slug. I mean, this is very similar to many other emails we got. He says, I think the cakewalk versus difficult combat is heavily based on class. I played through three times as a biotic, then a soldier, and then a tech, and it was amazing how much easier the soldier was to play than the other classes. The particular fight you mentioned was tough, but I didn't find it that horrendous. The first time I played, so this, even I'm a baby compared to this guy. The first time I played the Benezia section, however, took me hours. I think that I just got used to going into combat and having the sidekicks drop dead. Yeah, that was exactly my problem. See, this is what I'm talking about. Maybe the game would be better if a baby could play it. also, I love the podcast. Thanks for reading Super Slug. So right.
Yep.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Hendo writes, "Hello, a couple of friends have recommended the Idle Thumbs podcast, but warned me that there are a few in-jokes and catchphrases I might not get, so I might want to go back a few shows. Not one to do this by halves. 2 days ago, I started right back at episode number 1, and I'm currently up to number 11, back from December last year." Wow, so in like a month, this guy will hear his
right, yeah, that's actually kind of weird.
Thing being read, yeah, that's strange. It's a great show you guys do, and I thought it'd be cool to have a shout-out on the next show, and I'll let you know when I get that far. All right, so that's what he wants to happen.
Yeah, yeah. We keep mentioning this guy through every episode.
Right.
Just leaving the nuggets for him.
Hey, coming up to episode 40 now.
Like the breadcrumb trail just for this dude.
Yeah, we'll have our weekly Andy Henderson update.
Yeah.
So
he'll win every contest. And just won't know it.
Right, I submit my Little Big Planet level.
So we need the person who won this to respond within about a day, and then we'll get your prizes sent right off for you.
You guys never read my Ultra Boost flavors.
Yeah, I remember when I was a kid, I called.
And you read Ultra Boost flavors.
Yes, when I was a kid, I was listening to the radio late at night, and some DJ or whatever was on, and they were taking requests and stuff, and I called in, and they didn't pick up the phone for like 5 minutes, literally, and I just sat there ringing it, and finally someone picked up, and they're like, "Hello?" And I'm like, "Hi, I'd like to request a song." And they're like, "There's no one on right now, dude. It's a recording. We don't broadcast this late at night. I'm just like hanging out here cleaning up and stuff." And I was so sad because the guy was just berating me. And it was the first time I'd ever called into a radio station to request something. And I just got totally shot down.
Oh,
so
sad.
Yeah. So maybe someone can do that to us and we'll just poop on their heads somehow.
We've probably done that already.
So anyway, he continues, "In keeping with the catchphrases I've learned so far," oh god, "I'd like to say that I've been playing Trials HD and it's pretty sweet. In fact, I would go so far as to say it has, caps, blown me away. To Seg, have you guys got any hot scoops on Wizards? Thanks for providing my soundtrack to me falling off a digital..." Jake is dying here.
Yeah.
"To me falling off a digital motorcycle. Andy Henderson, North Wales, UK." And then he's got a quote here: "In the land of the blind, the one-eyed man is king." So think about that.
Oh,
interesting. Jake is cracking up here. He's holding it in, but he's dying. Jake finds any mention of an Idle Thumbs catchphrase to be instantly hilarious.
Right. In fact, if you go to PAX, I think all you should do is follow Jake around saying those catchphrases.
Yeah, exactly.
He loves that.
It's Jake's favorite thing.
He'll probably give you something for that.
I'll give you a hint as to where I'm coming from here. It was my original goal that we would be wizard-free in 2009.
No, man, 2009 is the year of the wizard. Actually, the year of the wizard has been pushed back into 2010.
That's true.
Yeah.
So imagine what that will be like now that you've experienced the first 8 months of this year.
I know. He mentions Trials HD. I actually have been playing... the PC game on which that was based, because I bought it a while
ago.
Trials
PC.
Trials 2 Second Edition. Mm. And I bought it. It was on sale in the Steam sale.
Yes,
last.
This is what I had to remember. But go ahead.
Okay. So, I'll just
this
gonna say.
This is the ticket. Yes.
I bought it last December.
I'm gonna put this podcast back on top.
Yeah. We got up
ghost.
To page 2 on iTunes.
On
the,
top ghost.
On the iTunes Video Games Podcast page.
Sweet. Oh, yeah.
So you should all go there and review our.
If you want to review Idle Thumbs, we would love a review, positive or negative. You can talk about how we just say baboo all the time and put the baby sample all over the place.
Sorry about that. I apologize.
You were really bored last week.
Well, yeah. Last week we were all on about 4 hours of sleep. Jake probably less than that.
I was editing
the podcast after missing a bus and getting back to my apartment at about 2:30 a.m. and then editing a podcast, and so it was a trying time. But
it was a trial HD.
My brain might have been in wacky mode for a while. But anyway, so Trials 2 is what I've been playing, and then you can buy it on Xbox 360 as Trials HD.
Yeah, that's where I bought it.
The reason I've just been playing it is because I had it, and everyone's been talking about it now because Trials HD is out. That game is hard as shit. It's fun.
I haven't gotten to the hard part, I suppose.
Yeah, it gets pretty hard. It's fun, though. It's weirdly fun.
Yeah.
It's a weird concept. It's like a motorcycle side-scroller where you have to do crazy tricks. Yeah.
It seems very strongly based on a game I used to play in DOS. It was exactly the same.
Holy shit!
Amendment. Yes! Oh, man! Nick!
Jake and
I just saved Nick's goddamn Christmas. Did you hear
this? Jake and Nick are embracing in a field, with string music everywhere. Yeah. They're giving each other high fives. They're smiling.
You know that
it's
fucking...
It's a glorious
it
I don't know! That's what I was going to ask! I need that
A-Cross or something like that. It had some name very similar to that.
God!
I will find it.
I went through the exact same thing. Yeah, I looked at that thing and I was like, man, this game is just like a game I played.
It's that physics-driven motorcycle game.
What was it called? Oh, man. Yeah.
Man, this is you guys exploded.
It's the exact same thing where it's like it has the gravity of the moon and your motorcycle going off
the moon.
Crazy.
Well, no, see it's actually that's why I know it's the exact same game because that game did have the gravity of the moon. Trials is not quite as crazy.
It did have the gravity moon.
Been watching people do the thing that where you go up the cliff and the motorcycle just falls over, and once the guy's head touches the ground, boom, you're dead.
Yes, yeah.
Does Trials have the thing where you can make the wheels all big for no reason and stuff?
Yeah, that was right. Oh my god. No, it doesn't. I don't think.
God, these guys are having a moment right now. I'm just.
Oh, Jesus.
And also, since nobody can tell you two guys apart, they're all just going to. One guy's having a crazy schizophrenic episode.
Oh, God. God, I wish I remember the name.
There are
a
million of those games now, is the problem. I did a search, and there's just like 1,000 Dirt Bike games.
All right, well, we're going to crowdsource the shit out of this one.
If anyone knows. I mean, we may find it before then. Maybe Jake just found it.
Maybe. We'll see.
Well, anyway, so this particular game...
Yeah, it's called Action Supercross or Across.exe.
Okay.
Oh, man, I remember referring to games by .exe.
That was it. Found it.
That was it.
Oh, I just closed it.
Oh, that's okay. Don't worry about it.
I reopened it.
Man, that's like when I used to refer to Star Control 2 as StarCon.exe.
Yeah, or
.exe. That stuff was all great. Yeah.
But yeah, so it's very, very, very reminiscent of Action Supercross for DOS.
Yep.
Crazy.
God, I used to play the shit out of that game.
I know.
So good.
Oh, man.
There were times when we'd be at a LAN party and it would actually just devolve into everyone for some reason running that game. Oh, because you can make levels for it.
Right. You can make levels for it.
You can draw levels for it and then just fuck people up.
Oh. That's all I did in computer class. It's just like, because it was basically a LAN and we just sat there.
So anyway.
And,
now I had forgotten about that, and now I'm going to go home and download Trials HD. Because I had forgotten that was this game.
Yeah.
Fuck my life.
All right. So, this
Action
is out.
Super cross.
You can get it on Steam or Xbox Live, and it's pretty crazy and fun.
Yeah.
It's a fun game. It's a fun video game. And it does get pretty goddamn hard, but it's kind of the point of it. And you know what? Actually, this is double seg here because the guy asked for a wizard seg, and
just
freaked out over weird precursors to things.
Yeah.
So
so
Action Supercross.
I know, Across. Oh, good old Across.
Nick and I, we spent a little bit of time before the thumb meet at Blizzard BlizzCon. I'm sorry,
at the Blizz,
at the Blizzard, the Blizzard convention. They should just call it the Blizzard convention.
We're Blizzing
At
the Blizzard collection.
Retro Arcade, I think it was called, or Classic Arcade.
Yeah, they call it Retro Arcade.
Did you guys play a Lost Viking?
For like a minute. Yeah. We played like a minute of Blackthorn.
The most we played was Warcraft Orcs
Warcraft
and Humans.
Warcraft 1, Orcs and Humans, which I played a lot of in 1994.
I did as well. Yeah.
Yep.
Did you play that, Jake?
Yep.
Wow. I wouldn't have thought that. Oh, I don't know.
I played a lot of Warcraft 1 and some Warcraft 2 and Command & Conquer 1 and Dune 2. And then that was the end of my time.
Right,
playing.
Right. Okay.
So I logged on a Battle.net once with StarCraft and decided that I was done with.
We forgot to talk about that aspect of Battle.net. They actually specifically brought that up a good deal at like several times and different
Battle.net
people.
Battle.net will no longer rape you join.
Well, they talked about how damaging an experience that is for people to.
Yeah.
They go through single player and they're like, all right, I know how to play StarCraft now.
That made me stop playing real time strategy games basically.
And I think
a
lot of people
never get good enough at this game ever.
Yeah, but now they're going to be like a million different leagues of all sorts of difficulty, and then there will be also standard matchmaking.
A noob league.
Yeah, well, in the match, the other thing about the matchmaking, though, there won't be what they call smurfing, which is people won't be able to create a new account, and then thereby resetting their wins loss ratio. So that
how do you not do that?
Yeah, how do you keep? I don't know how they're actually going
to because it's all tied to that unified Battle.net account.
If someone really doesn't care about their unified Battle.net account, they can still make a new.
You'd have to buy another copy of the game.
Really, they're tying it to a CD key.
I mean, you can't buy the game. You can't create a 7 different Battle.net accounts and then just sign into that Battle.net account and have StarCraft on your thing. You register all your games with your unified account.
Well, you could just buy another copy. Well, I guess you could buy another copy of the game, but I mean,
that's the only thing you could do.
A smurfing copy?
But you would have to buy copies for every. Right. I mean, that would be so fucking insane.
Yeah, so that's true. Okay, so yeah, they're doing that. And I love the idea of the leagues, like the different divisions and stuff. Because while it's certainly, you know,
it sounds good.
It is obviously maybe initially a little demeaning to do that. No, imagine how cool it is if you can move up to a higher level league.
No, good.
Like, that's rad.
Totally approved.
Yep. Okay, so Wizard, Wizard Seg.
Yes.
We were playing some Warcraft 1.
Laughing about this.
And this is a game that I, you know, I guess all of us played a lot
we should
of.
Preface this by saying that we had just played StarCraft 2.
Yeah, we had just played StarCraft 2.
So we were going 2. Back in time.
We were going from like the most polished yes. take on the base building
RTS.
We were
RTS. Going from like the Ferrari to the Model T, basically.
Right, exactly. Was, and this game has no right clicking.
Yeah.
It has no drag select.
Right.
To scroll, you can't just move the mouse to a side of the screen. You have to click on the side of the screen.
Yeah.
What else? I don't know. It's archaic in every respect. You know, I mean, it was,
yeah.
But it was amazing.
The pathing
it was one of those,
is hilarious.
The pathing is awful.
Yeah.
The AI is almost
you can select three guys who are, you know, basically in a huddle.
Right.
Click on a point for them to move and then they will split up and diverge.
Right.
And go like everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's amazing too. It's incredible because it was a long time ago, but really it was only 15 years ago, you know, and 15 yeah. years ago, I was playing that game and being completely blown away by yeah. it. I mean, I played that game with direct modem connection to my buddy
yep.
in multiplayer, and we had a blast.
I think we played that with two computers over a null modem cable. Actually.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
But I'm going to derail this briefly,
yeah,
but the
ahead.
Difference between StarCraft or between Warcraft 1 and Warcraft 2 is like night and day. And
it was I know.
Huge.
It was
Warcraft,
amazing.
It's like, okay, I see where yeah. every Blizzard game came from.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Yeah, Warcraft well, 1 is...
Well, StarCraft was another one of those, though, because StarCraft was where they moved from the mirrored races, where the two sides were identical with sprite swaps, to the three balanced factions, which was a revelation for, yeah. for Blizzard.
Yeah.
Those were all...
I mean, wasn't CNC already doing that a little bit with
yes,
not a
yeah,
GDI?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. CNC was, but...
yeah.
But from Warcraft 2, StarCraft was a pretty huge yeah. upgrade. Anyway, so what we're actually meant to talk about here... Is the wizard. So I loaded up the orc campaign and Nick loaded up the human campaign. And the orc campaign was whatever. It had a really classic intro cinematic that I remembered
yeah,
shockingly
yeah, yeah.
clearly with the orcish hordes,
yeah.
yes. the cheesy ass voice actor. But the one Nick loaded up, and I think the first or second scene.
I think it's just the first.
The first
that, yeah.
scene.
There's a scrolling other, text and then behind this.
None
yeah.
other. A wizard.
A wizard.
A fucking
classic
wizard.
Wizard
a classic
with, like,
wizard.
Huge, like,
with a
white
beard
like a
and a
spindly
blue,
beard.
Pointy hat.
Stars yeah. and moons on the hat, perhaps.
I think he had like a pipe.
Like a
sort
wizard.
Of,
yeah.
Just sort of sitting
yeah.
there stroking his beard.
Oh, yeah. He was a cool
thing.
Wizard just hanging yeah. out doing the wizard thing.
Yeah.
And it was pretty amazing. We took a picture of it. Although, I don't know what the point
that
of that
game
was.
Was all...
probably a million screenshots
yeah.
available.
That game was more about wizardry than
it was.
There was
the Warcraft universe was less ridiculous in those days than it is now.
Yeah, yeah. It was it was like sort of just standard fantasy
yeah.
stuff. Yeah. As it,
well but the
of,
orcs,
it's still sort of standard
it is,
fantasy
but
stuff,
the orcs
it was that sort of core like oh there are wizards and orcs and
right.
you know just kind of
right.
goofy.
Now there's
shit.
NPCs named like Ringo Starr and shit
yeah.
which I hate.
Yeah.
I hate all that crap. Like I'm not a big fan of just straight generic fantasy stuff either, but I mean if you're going to do some goofy shit, I'll take that over. I'll take that and the orcs saying Zug Zug
yeah,
over,
for sure.
you know, just the idiotic, never-ending, stupid pop culture puns they have in World of Warcraft now, which I think is just garbage. Anyway, so that was Warcraft 1. It was amazing to play that for multiple reasons. And it really makes you appreciate how quickly games have iterated in a relatively short period of time,
yeah.
all things considered.
Yeah.
More reader mail. And how about that for Wizard Seg? I mean, that was pretty expert. We weren't planning
yeah,
that at
no,
all.
That
guy,
was,
we just read that mail. And all right, so...
we are the wizard experts.
We are. Nick Beers writes, "Hi, Idle Thumbs crew. I was the second guy that called in on the most recent podcast, and I would like to say thanks for putting me on. It's an odd feeling hearing your own voice come through your speakers while playing bad Flash games. I found it awesome that Google transcribed me in a humorous manner. Also, I'm a business and administration major, and inevitably, I have to take finance courses from a major, so now I only think about Final Finance, the game I invented and not really want to play. I apologize for coming off as a complete inarticulate moron who loves Final Finance 10. Thanks for a great podcast. You guys get me through a long commute. Nick Beers, yes, that is my real last name. You have no idea how many professors and fencing tournament officials have thought it was a joke. P.S. This, yes, that was your podcast on in the background of my call.
Awesome.
All right.
Speaking of crazy last names, Sarah McCarrigan.
Sarah McCarrigan. Oh, my God. So we are the Seg Lords. So, yeah.
Seg Lord.
What's her face? Lady from Battlestar Galactica got.
Trisha Helfer. Was announced.
I always think her name is Trisha Heifer.
Heifer.
Heifer, like a cow. Yeah. So she was announced as the new voice of Kerrigan in StarCraft II.
Yes.
And the old lady, who I guess her name was Glennis Talkin, I think.
Right.
She is now apparently like a romance novelist. She writes romance and fantasy novels.
Yeah, yeah.
And she has been, I guess she was campaigning heavily to come back and be Kerrigan in StarCraft II, because it seems like most of the major voice actors are actually returning.
Yeah.
It seems like they pretty much are bringing most of the people back. Not her, and that's been known for a while, I guess, and so she's been trying to get back in. And most recently, she changed her actual name to Sarah McCarrigan, and her character's name was Sarah Kerrigan. So that's...
Sarah McCarrigan?
Sarah McCarrigan. Jake had a really disgusted look
on his face. I guess she's Irish, so...
That's odd.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's very weird.
It is pretty weird.
Yeah. Anyway.
Huh. Man, Jake just looks baffled and disgusted.
That seems like a weird thing to do, especially if you're already a published novelist.
Right.
You don't change your name at that point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Your name goes on your book. You don't change it to a StarCraft
character. Well, now she's her upcoming book is, we'll say, Sarah McCarrigan on it. Jake was totally, completely baffled here.
All right.
Okay, so... moving on. Paul Davis writes, Dear Video Games.
Hello.
I recently took a trip with my... I forgot that was you. Dear Video Games, I recently took a trip with my girlfriend to romantic Newfoundland, and we ended up on a whale and puffin watching tour. Holy shit!
Wait, where is he?
Newfoundland.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Wait, why? What? Oh, I thought that sounded like what? Boobenloob.
I was watching a show...
Sorry. Anyway, go ahead, Nick.
No, I was watching a show once, and they were in Iceland and hunting puffin.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and the puffins were just sort of flying around the cliffs, and they were just, you know, picking them off, basically, one by one.
Jesus. Like a shotgun?
And then they ate puffins.
You just made a shotgun motion. Were they using shotguns?
Yeah, they were using, massive guns. Just sort of sitting there picking them off one by one, and then just putting them on a grill. And,
so anyway, that was this guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
It's so easy that he was shooting them from...
Paul Davis, puffin hunter.
Yeah.
Remember that game, Merv Griffin, or Mace Griffin, Bounty Hunter?
Remember that game, Turok Dinosaur Hunter?
All right, so I chose one slightly more obscure. No, but Mace Griffin, Bounty Hunter was always a game that, it was like the movie you always see in Blockbuster every time you're in there, but you never rent it.
It's like The Adventure of Rewell Williams.
Yeah, well, it is. It is like that. I never played Mace Griffin.
Merv Griffin.
I always want to. Yeah, that's always my brain thinks when it sees the game box. Anyway, so to continue this guy's mail, he says, we ended up on a whale and puffin watching tour. The whales were pretty cool, but I was obviously most excited to see the puffins. I love that. That's obvious.
Yeah.
I thought it might warm your hearts to know that I had said puffins enough by the time we boarded the boat that Kate, my girlfriend, had started saying it too, complete with silly puffin voice.
Yeah.
Man, there are two ways that could have gone with you being with your girlfriend and saying puffins in an Ed Wynn voice nonstop. And you're lucky the direction it went is that your girlfriend also started saying it, because that could have been bad.
Needless to say, I'm writing this from a train station.
Right, exactly. Right. Yeah. Here's a picture of a puffin burrow, where the puffins burrow their homes. A lot of them are just hanging out outside. Also, maybe you already knew this fact, but puffins mate for life until one or two of them are eaten by a seagull. Neat. Another fact I learned on this tour is that 1.5 million birds on one small island smells like bird shit. That's a good fact.
This is a great read of mail.
I'm also including a picture of us at a lighthouse, because I thought you might like to know what your friends in Wisconsin look like. Sincerely, your friend in Wisconsin. And then he includes a picture of the puffins as well as the picture of the lighthouse. So we will put those on the forums, and everyone can see what our friends in Wisconsin and puffins look like.
This is a great piece of mail.
This is a really good piece of mail. Good job, Paul Davis.
It's like that offbeat stuff, you know?
Yeah.
It doesn't always have to be about video games.
Yeah. Video games.
Yeah,
Jeremy Fenwick,
the science and art of puffins,
says, greetings. Recently you talked about the role of cutscenes in games, and I agree that for the most part they're awful. That raises a question, though. What about the Metal Gear Solid series? That has to be the absolute worst offender, and yet the series gets nothing but adulation from players. Considering the plots are convoluted, excessively self-indulgent, and mostly terrible.
Self-indulgent.
They have dungeons. How do you defend the two-hour cutscenes that go on in games like Metal Gear Solid 4, or do none of you even like the series? Cheers, Jeremy.
How do you defend those, Chris?
This might be the only game podcast you can listen to where most of us don't like
Infinite
Metal
cutscene.
Gear.
Yeah.
Nobody here is going to stand up and...
I didn't think Metal Gear Solid 4 is that good. I will say, I think
the cutscenes in Metal Gear Solid, in the first Metal Gear Solid,
I thought they were fine.
They were fine.
They were pretty much fine.
I mean, the cutscenes in all the Metal Gear games are well made for video game cutscenes.
Well,
I don't know.
I think they get pretty fucking boring.
They get
honestly.
Pretty.
I mean, they're pretty unnecessary a lot in many cases, and I find the writing to be really, really ridiculous.
Yeah.
To the point where it just gets distractingly stupid. But I do think Hideo Kojima has a great mind for video games and a bad mind for making movies, and I wish he would stop trying to do the latter. I really think that guy does some of the absolute most clever stuff in terms of weird, like, messing with the designer's hand in a game. I think he does an excellent job when that's what he's trying to do of just, I don't know.
You know what I like about cutscenes?
Toying with the relationship of the player and the designer. Go ahead.
You know what when I don't mind a cutscene?
What's that?
Is an example of something like StarCraft, actually, where the cutscene is meant to be just sort of this entirely separate thing, showing you a slice of something that's going on that may not really be all that relevant to what your character is supposed to be doing or what the main story is, but just something like...
This is a slice of tone.
Basically. Well, yeah. I mean, like, the equivalent now in StarCraft 2 is you have, like, a video monitor and you can choose to click on it and watch something that's going on in the universe.
I agree with that.
When it's something that is just, you know, additive rather than necessary to the story, that's fine. Like, I don't mind at all.
And a big part of that is because you then don't have that disassociative problem where you end up seeing your character
exactly.
do a bunch of shit that you just cannot do in the game. It ends up... I can't stand that. I mean, we talked about that
before.
It's
pretty much the opposite of, like, a Final Fantasy cutscene.
Yeah, or Metal Gear Solid, for that matter. Right. Metal Gear Solid, you watch all these characters that you play, and sometimes you control in ways that have nothing to do with what they can do in the cutscenes. Yep. I mean, it makes me feel like an idiot. I'll watch a cutscene of Snake just doing the most amazing shit or someone else doing the most amazing shit, and you get into the game and it's like, oh, okay, I guess I can just kind of run and then crouch on a thing. I guess actually I'm hilariously clumsy and have to hide in a trash can for 5 minutes after accidentally setting off an alarm. Like, it really drives home the difference between the story that the designer's using to tell a game and what the game itself is actually doing. And I think that's just not a good way for video games to go. But I do think outside of those cutscene things, Hideo Kojima has absolutely great things to contribute to games. And I wish he personally would
rein himself in a bit.
Yeah, exactly. And just focus more on that kind of stuff. Cause I think some of it's brilliant. I've talked about it before. The Metal Gear Solid 3 ladder thing, one of my favorite moments in any game ever.
Oh, right. Yeah.
I think it's brilliant. I loved it. And there's a lot of stuff all throughout that series that's really interesting. And I really think he just sabotages himself with unnecessary crap. And Nick, what you were saying about StarCraft 2, you know, my favorite example of that possibly ever, and it's another Blizzard game, is Diablo 2.
Yeah.
I think we talked about this before.
Oh, have we? Okay, never mind then. But yeah.
Actually, yeah. That was,
how the cutscenes are a different guy.
They are a different guy, and they're also your character from Diablo 1.
Yeah, we've talked about
this. And
they
have a parallel story that you're following. It's brilliant. Anyway, so that's cool. So that's how we feel about that, I guess.
Right. Yep.
There was some other actual gameplay stuff in Metal Gear Solid 4 that I thought was great. I thought the first act of the game was really good.
Yep.
I thought there was some cool stuff near the end in terms of callbacks to previous games.
I thought the concepts of some of the flawed areas were sound, but man, the British sort of thing where you're running around and I can't remember exactly where you're running around in London and you're sort of disguised, and I can't really remember Anyway, I thought that was a really cool area.
Yeah, that was actually a pretty decent section.
Yeah, I don't know.
It had,
I think,
kind
gameplay
of a hook
wise,
to it that was different, but
yeah.
It was pretty standard Metal Gear stuff, though, in terms of the actual gameplay.
Yeah.
But the thing I liked about the first act is that they tried to fix that problem that they've had before, where the game just breaks when you get spotted. I thought Act 1 did a great job of tweaking that in a really believable, cool, game, interesting way in terms of gameplay. Anyway, Metal Gear Solid, whatever. I have mixed feelings about pretty much all the games in that series. Oh, and you know what? Just as another comparison.
Yeah.
Between Diablo 2 and Metal Gear Solid 2, Metal Gear Solid 2 actually does attempt to do that thing where I've seen Kojima talk about it, and he says his goal with 2, one of his goals anyway, was to try to have the main plot be about a character that isn't you. You know, I mean, you don't play Snake in Metal Gear Solid 2, at least not for most of it. And the game was sort of supposed to tell Snake's story in parallel to you playing as Raiden or Raiden.
Yeah.
And I thought it just didn't... I liked the idea, and I liked the goal, and I really didn't mind playing as Raiden. It made no difference to me. You, from a gameplay point of view, you were identical to Snake, so I don't see why people cared so much. But I just didn't think that... It just didn't come off very well. I don't think that actually succeeded. Whereas that's exactly what Diablo 2 tries to do, and if you actually care, you know, when you're playing Diablo 2, I think it actually succeeds quite well. So maybe Kojima will try that again someday. Yeah, well, that's a very sedate note to end on, but I guess we're done.
Oh,
for the week.
Oh, okay, we're done.
I guess we're done.
Take that.
Yeah.
If you have a reader mail, you should write it in.
Yeah.
To questions@idlethumbs.net.
If you have any ideas for a sweet PAX meetup, maybe we can hear those.
Yeah.
No guarantees we'll use any of them, but we're going to try to do something. So that's that.
And keep sending in those Ultra Boost flavors.
Keep yeah. Cyborg drawings? No.
Yeah.
And we will put the photographs of the guy and possibly a screenshot of a Warcraft 1 wizard on our forum thread, which is now there expressly for that purpose. Come to our forums. Forums.idlethumbs.net. Questions@idlethumbs.net. 55 wizard on. The number of ways you can contact us is increasing all the time. Bye.
Goodbye.
Babu.
Video game.
This was the worst idea. Oh my god. It's like...
I'm a phone! Whatever happened to the phone? You guys used to rock out so hard! Now you're just a damn miniature podcast!
God. It's like when they lowered that microphone down into hell.
Microphone!
In Russia. And this is what you hear.
Damn.
You know that urban myth?
No. Okay.
Like, this recording was...
What is going on?
Yo, I'm a phone! What happened to see me a super douche? How's it going? Let me know your new podcast!
False.
Bye!
None of his people.
Bye!
What Yo, I'm a phone! Got two words! Horseback! When that Waluigi game coming out? I don't know!
All of these guys at the end of the episode, after the episode's over.
Yeah, actually, they, God.
Yo!